AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Tomorrow at the Walker Art Museum, the Body Electric opens up. It's a new exhibit which focuses on the rise of art involving television, smartphones, tablets, computers, technology, viral videos, and the et cetera. It looks at an intergenerational group of artists over the past 50 years who use technology to explore identity, embodiment, class, race, and sexuality. It is an incredible exhibit, and kind enough to join us right now is Pavel Pish. He is the curator of visual arts at the Walker Art Museum, and he's kind enough to join us. Hi, Pavel.
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much for having me. And by the way, thank you very much to you, Rachel, and Mary for having me over yesterday. That was a real treat to be able to go through the exhibit with you and see what is truly a great exhibit.
We're really grateful that you came. Thank you.
I asked you a question. I noticed over the last few years that the Walker has been, with individual pieces, part of larger exhibits, revisiting the early explorers into technology, the artists that were embracing television primarily in early computers. In the early times when those mediums really started to open up, and I asked you if that was probably a precursor to this exhibit, and you had said yes, correct?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like me, because when I'd see that, I'd like, wow, that's really cool. And to see something from like the 1960s and 1970s and see that someone was really thinking ahead of the curve. That was always nice. I mean, it really, there has been this broad expansion into that art and the visual arts using technology, correct?
There has been, and I think these things come in waves, and the Walker has a really great history of engaging with artists who are really pushing the boundaries through technology of what's possible in terms of thinking about how we think about the body, how we think about technology's influence on the body. And as we were working on this exhibition, we were really looking at our past, not only in the galleries and but also really thinking about what our colleagues in Moving Image and Performing Arts have done as well. So there are a few moments in the show which really acknowledge key artists and key moments in the Walker's past.
Well, and as a matter of fact, one of the first pieces that you see is a piece that you guys have brought back from, was it, 75?
That's right. It's by a local artist called James Byrne. It's a work called Scale Drawing, which is a kind of meditation on Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man, and it's really a wonderful piece that as you come into the galleries, it's the first piece you see, and it's really an icon of the show, and it summarizes so many of the concerns. And what you see in the work is a drawing on the wall of an outline of a man's body with his hand disappearing into a television screen, and on that screen you see the artist in the 70s making the drawing. So you have this really great kind of confusion between the space that you're in and the space inside of the TV.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk a lot about some of the other pieces there. But is it, as a curator, what's your thought when you see something from 50 years ago, 40 years ago, and you see the piece today, and it doesn't feel dated necessarily? I mean, it might look a little bit older, but the fact that there are people that have done pieces that were so ahead of their time, I mean, it really is remarkable that some people understood this medium so well back then.
Yeah. I think one of the really key things for us in putting this exhibition together was to show a little bit of skepticism towards the novelty of technology, because we tend to celebrate new, shiny things very quickly. And so this exhibition was really about standing a little bit back and saying, well, actually, if you look at the way that artists were engaging with technology in the 60s or the 80s or today, it doesn't matter so much what technology can do. It's really how technology is used to ask these questions about the body and identity. And so by putting these different time periods together, it's about trying to find shared moments, shared resonance between different generations.
And it does embrace all the technologies. There's a piece there, the 3D piece, which is exceptional. My God. It's a full room piece that, you know, it is designed for the viewer to really get in depth into the art piece itself.
Yes, it's a really immersive work by a young New York-based artist called Trisha Baga. The piece is called Mollusca and the Pelvic Floor, and it's an expanded environment which includes 2D and 3D projections as well as a number of objects on the floor. And it's a really amazing experience because you have, as you view the piece in 3D glasses, you have a kind of sense of confusion. Are you looking at an object or are you looking at an image? And it's a really funny film as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing how people engage with that.
I know through the arts, as the history of arts has gone through, there's always these schools that sort of rise up here. Was there an individual school that kind of rose up with this, you know, looking at technology and questioning it from the individual body mentality that was a precursor of this exhibit?
There are certainly groups of artists who come to mind, and I think there's a section in the exhibition called Performing for the Camera, which brings together artists from the 60s to today who turn the lens of the camera, as you would to take a selfie, to open up a space to perform for the camera. And that's really a well-known technique that many artists since the mid-60s, when the Portapak became available, they were using technology in that way. But again, it was about bringing those works from the past into the present by juxtaposing them with younger artists.
I think the younger artists, it's interesting because it's just as dynamic. It's just as interesting, but it's also, because as a parent myself, it also is, there's a part of this. As a curator here, I have to imagine that you look at this in the same sense, is that it evolves so fast sometimes. It might sometimes be hard to capture, oh my gosh, they're doing this, only they're doing it with the new technology.
You're right. And in many ways, there are works in the show that are very, very new. Trisha's work that I mentioned is from 2018. A newly commissioned work by Zach Blass is just being finished right now as I talk to you. Mm-hmm. But even with some of the other younger artists in the show, we particularly chose works that were even a little bit older for them. So for some of the artists who are really making work today, even the works that we chose are from 3, 4, 5 years ago. So we took that kind of historical approach even to the younger artists who are in the show.
The reason why I think this is an important exhibit is because not only does it show that these questions needed to be asked, and they were asked, being asked correctly by artists, starting in the 60s and 70s and running through the 80s and to today, but it's still that there are questions that need to be asked. And we were in one room. It's the room with the piece, which is the stationary bike, where it talks about the blue screen, green screen, and how that was the opposite of a certain skin color. And the artist asks, well, what color skin color? And I mean, you don't realize. I thought that was such an excellent question, because there is questions like that need to be answered that you don't want to necessarily say there's an inherent racism within technology, but there surely is a lack of understanding of the societal impacts of the technology if you're going to be saying things, that are so kind of, narrow-minded, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think this is really the double-edged sword of what is possible in terms of technology. We think of technology with such a sense of hope that it's this democratic way to help society, but in many ways technology can have really sinister undertones. And so many of the artists in this show are also questioning that and questioning how technology can continue to reflect biases. And so the work that you're talking about, which is Sandra Perry's work, is a critique of how even technology that is supposed to render the body or create an avatar has already within its possibilities, limitations that reflect the bias of the person who made that particular technology.
And that is what I find to be stunning about this entire exhibit, is it's so – I rarely say this about an exhibit. This exhibit's actually important. This is one of those exhibits that people will remember when they go through it, because in years to come, I think it's a precursor of where this art is going. You see the entire history of it, and it gets there, and I'm going to get to your job in that role in a second. But I think it's those questions that if you can get people at the end of it to be asking those questions at the end and saying, yeah, the human beings were involved here, so of course there are biases and parameters that have been established in this, that I think that's the important thing, that it is not just a shiny thing, that it's a human-made thing.
I think that's a good point. And, you know, we live at a time where technology is becoming increasingly immaterial. We exchange images without really thinking how they are made or where they are stored. And we're living at a time when virtual reality and artificial intelligence are really being experimented with. And it's important to remember that all of those things, they tie to the physical experience in the world. And so these artists who are in this exhibition, many of them are really playing with that distance between the world that we're in and the world on screen, between the binary, between the organic and the artificial, and trying to find, well, what is, how do you translate one into the other? How do you turn an image into an object and vice versa?
Your job at curating this, I have to give you kudos, because the way this is laid out makes this – it's not just the art – and the artist pieces are magnificent. They're wonderful. But it's the curator that basically creates the story as you go through the history of this. Talk a little bit about your intent when you set this up, because you did a magnificent job.
That's very kind. Well, I would say that, you know, it takes a village, and I – had a great partner on the show, which is Jadine Collingwood, our curatorial fellow, and really great colleagues in all of the departments at the Walker. So it's, you know, it's a testament to what this institution can do. But the exhibition really grew from, I think, a sense of frustration with seeing younger artists who were born in the late 70s and onwards, with their work really being seen only on a generational level. And in many ways, the exhibition grew from a need to historicize them, to kind of age them, which many of them are very happy to have had that done to their work. It wasn't about saying that this particular young artist is indebted to this older figure, but really about finding the exchange of ideas, finding moments where the work talks to each other in a meaningful way. And the story is organized, the exhibition is organized roughly thematically. The first gallery that welcomes you into the show is the chronological anchoring. It's where you find this really important generation in the 1960s who are using TVs as objects and the subject of their work. And then it moves through a number of themes, such as performing for the camera, extending the self into virtual space, how media imagery influences the way that we think, and what are the boundaries of the body? How is the body porous and malleable?
It really is important, because I think it's as I mentioned to you, I think that sometimes when you go to a concert from a band from the 80s and they just play their hits from the 80s, it gets really boring. The Walker, the thing I love about the Walker is that it's as a modern art museum, it's never been happy and satisfied staying in one place. It completely evolves. It completely moves forward. And what you've done is shown that this medium is here. It's here to stay. It's got a good, rich history already. And I think this is almost like as with my daughter who went with me, it's a launch point to where you're going to inspire a heck of a lot of artists with this.
Well, that's very nice to hear, but it's also been, you know, being able to exchange ideas with artists is also what really informed this show. And one of the easiest and smartest thing a curator can do is ask artists who they look up to, and also who their peers are that they look up to. So it's often, I think, exhibitions that come together in a way that is meaningful is thanks to the advice of the artists that we work with.
Now, this opens tomorrow, and for the public here, when does it run to?
The exhibition will run till the end of July. Tomorrow, we're celebrating the opening with two talks. I'll be in dialogue with a pioneer of video and performance art, Joan Jonas, at 1 p.m. at the Walker.
Wow.
And then at 3 p.m., we will have a conversation between the academic Chris Paulson and the artist Zach Blass. I'll just mention that we're very excited to welcome Joan back to the Walker. The piece that she made for the exhibition is an installation that is based on a performance called Funnel that she did at the Walker in 1974. And so 45 years since that moment, Joan has revisited the performance as an installation in our galleries. So we're really excited to share that with everyone.
And that's just one part of the whole wonderfulness of this, is it embraces it. It's old, it's new, but it really is showing this new avenue for it. And by the way, it is going to go out to San Francisco after this, so congratulations already on that. That's a really cool thing too.
That's right. We're really lucky to partner with the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, where the show will open in early September.
Pavel, thank you very much for the tour yesterday. All my best on this. Absolutely outstanding. And it's got my highest recommendation. I'm going to drive as many people to this exhibit as possible.
Thank you so much. You should get a subscription to our parking garage then.
I think I will. I already got the membership. I already got my Walker membership. I'll have to get maybe I'll need a parking pass. Pavel Pish is once again the curator of visual arts over at the Walker Arts Center, kind enough to join us. Pavel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
My pleasure. The Body Electric opens at the Walker tomorrow, March 30th. Go catch this one. This one's important. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.